Welcome to this deep dive. We've got some source material here focused on, well, probably the single biggest financial step most people take, buying a home. But the sources we're looking at, they're not exactly your cheerful beginner's guide. It feels more like a tactical briefing.
Yeah, they're specifically labeled excerpts from first-time home buying in 2025, Overcoming Challenges. That title, it's not just a label, right? It feels like a mission statement. It immediately sets our focus. How can a new buyer navigate the housing market, not just successfully, but strategically, in the coming year?
Exactly. And what's fascinating, I think, is that the title itself tells us so much before we even read a single sentence of the actual content. It strongly implies that 2025 is fundamentally going to be a difficult market, a challenging one. So our mission here is really to extract the strategic nuggets just from this framing alone. What obstacles, what solutions must the authors be digging into? For you, the learner, this is about getting a quick read on the kind of mental framework you'll need for success. Because that title, it signals that just, you know, passively getting your finances ready, probably not enough. If you're getting ready to buy, you need to step into that arena, specifically armored against known obstacles.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. The focus on overcoming challenges, it immediately shifts the whole conversation, doesn't it? It's not general education. It feels more like, I don't know, military briefing or something. When a source is structured like that, it tells us the buyer is probably starting at a distinct disadvantage. And that success means having a really intentional plan to sort of wrest that advantage back.
It's a critical distinction, absolutely. If the source had been called, say, Simple Steps to Home Ownership, we'd be talking basic education. But Overcoming Challenges, that forces us to infer that the strategies inside are likely complex, probably multi-layered, maybe even unconventional. The authors seem to be preparing the reader for systemic friction in the market.
And we should probably emphasize that friction is likely compounded for the first-time buyer, right? I mean, they don't have the institutional knowledge, maybe the equity cushion that repeat buyers might have.
Yeah.
So the challenges of 2025, and we can probably guess, high interest rates, low inventory, intense competition, they're going to hit that first-time buyer with maximum force.
Right. That's a very good point. So if we accept this premise, that 2025 demands specialized strategies for overcoming this friction, then logically we have to infer the authors dedicated significant space to maybe three key areas, I'd guess. Financial engineering, tactical negotiation, and maybe psychological resilience. It's not just about saving money anymore. It's about knowing how to deploy it smarter than the competition.
Okay, let's start with that first one, financial engineering. If the challenges are high prices and high interest rates, which seem like the likely headwinds for 2025, just saving a 20% down payment, well, it might not be enough. We have to infer that this resource is pushing buyers into more complex financial territory.
Precisely. If you're talking about overcoming affordability challenges, the source must be detailing specialized tools. For example, it probably dives deep into things like temporary interest rate buydowns. Now, a first-time buyer might hear that phrase and just, you know, feel overwhelmed. But the concept is fairly simple. Essentially, the seller or maybe the lender pays a fee up front, and that fee subsidizes the buyer's interest payments for the first couple of years.
Oh, that's fascinating. Because it shifts the focus, doesn't it? It's not just about haggling over the purchase price, which sellers obviously resist. It's about negotiating the cost of financing. That sounds like a potentially more palatable negotiation point. So the source would be instructing the buyer on negotiating finance structure, not just the sticker price.
Yeah. And that's a perfect example of overcoming a challenge. The challenge, the high monthly payment because of high rates, the overcoming strategy, a targeted subsidy addressing that specific pain point directly. Furthermore, we can probably assume the source explores adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs. Not necessarily as a risky gamble, but as a calculated tool.
Wait, hold on. If the focus is overcoming challenges, why recommend an ARM? That introduces future uncertainty about rates. Isn't that just trading one challenge for another?
That's a really important question, a fair question. The inferred reasoning must be tactical, right? An ARM usually offers a significantly lower introductory rate. That solves the immediate affordability challenge. And it's likely based on the assumption or projection that the buyer will either refinance later when rates potentially drop, which seems to be a key projection for 2025 thinkers, or that their income will rise before the rate adjusts. So the source is likely framing it as a calculated short-term affordability fix, not a long-term set it and forget its strategy. It really shows the level of complex, maybe non-conventional thinking needed.
Okay, that makes sense. And it immediately makes the advice actionable for you, the listener. Preparation has to go beyond just getting pre-approved. It has to include understanding these maybe more advanced financial tools and being ready to use them tactically.
Absolutely. So the next big pillar we can infer from overcoming challenges has got to be tactical search and negotiation. Why? Because the twin challenges of likely low inventory and intense competition mean the buyer needs to find homes others can't, or win bids others lose.
Right. So this implies that just relying on Zillow alerts and standard MLS listings, well, the authors probably see that as a losing strategy in the 2025 market they're describing. What specific search tactics do you think the source might be pushing?
I'd bet the text prioritizes strategies for getting access to the shadow inventory, which means leveraging real estate agents who really specialize in off-market opportunities, you know, homes not yet publicly listed, often because the seller wants a quiet, maybe faster sale. So a first-time buyer needs an agent who is aggressively networked, someone who treats the search like a proactive hunt, not just passive browsing.
That makes sense. And I think the source would also have to highlight strategies for overcoming those fierce bidding wars we keep hearing about. For a first-time buyer who often can't compete with, say, an all-cash offer, what are the non-monetary ways to make an offer stand out?
Good point. The authors are almost certainly providing some kind of checklist for crafting a seller-friendly offer. This would include things like maybe waiving certain contingencies carefully, of course, without undue risk, or offering a free leaseback period to the seller after closing. Maybe even leveraging personalized letters to appeal to the seller's emotions, sometimes criticized, but often effective in really tight markets. The goal is to make the bid not just financially competitive, but also logistically superior, easier for the seller.
That's great insight. Overcoming competition often means outthinking them on logistics, not just outspending them. It really emphasizes having a prepared, organized team, doesn't it? Your broker, agent, inspector, all ready to move quickly and decisively, making your offer seem low friction.
Exactly. And this leads us nicely to the third critical pillar, one that's often overlooked when we talk about home buying, psychological resilience and time management. If the market is truly characterized by challenges, that inherently means the buyer is going to face rejection, delays, probably burnout.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. If the source material emphasizes overcoming challenges, it almost sets an expectation for failure along the way. The authors aren't selling a dream here. They're selling a durable process. How would the resource coach a first-time buyer through that inevitable emotional toll?
Well, probably first by validating the experience, by normalizing it. The resource likely tells the buyer straight up, anticipate being outbid, maybe 5, 6, even 10 times. The overcoming strategy here seems twofold. Probably scenario planning and something like process decoupling. Scenario planning means having your plan A, your ideal house, but also plan B, maybe a condo 30 miles further out, and even plan C, perhaps renting for another year while aggressively saving more. This prevents the buyer from feeling emotionally devastated when plan A falls through. And process decoupling, that means separating your own self-worth from the transaction's outcome. The failure of a bid isn't a personal failure, it's a market failure, a reflection of the conditions.
Wow, that advice is incredibly valuable. Because it transforms the goal, right? The goal isn't just find a house fast. It becomes implement a resilient process that eventually leads to a house. The source is implicitly defining success not as one single transaction, but as the ability to adapt to sustain difficulty.
It also forces a realistic discussion about the timeline, which is part of that psychological armor we talked about. If the strategies for overcoming these challenges involve complex financing, protracted searches for off-market deals, well, the buyer needs to mentally commit, maybe to a 6 to 18 month window, not a 90-day sprint. The challenge is time. The overcoming strategy is patience, but patience backed by active searching.
So if we kind of synthesize these three inferred pillars, the financial engineering, the tactical negotiation, and this resilience piece, it paints a picture, doesn't it? A picture of a 2025 first-time buyer who needs to function almost like a professional investor, not just a prospective homeowner.
I think that is the core insight we can glean just from the framing. The resource is effectively telling the reader, you must elevate your operational knowledge. You can't just passively rely on standard conventional wisdom, because conventional wisdom, frankly, only works well in a low-friction market. Mm-hmm. In 2025, based on this title, you need advanced, tailored strategies to break through what sound like systemic barriers.
It also puts a huge emphasis, it seems, on the role of the expert team around the buyer. I mean, to successfully execute a rate buy-down or effectively target off-market properties, you need specialized expertise. The source is likely arguing, maybe implicitly, that the money spent on a really top-tier agent or broker. that might be the best investment for overcoming these challenges.
And that brings up an important point implied by the term first-time home buying itself. While these strategies sound complex, the book must make them accessible. It can't just name-drop ARMs. It has to provide a structured, step-by-step guide, presumably, on how to evaluate the risk and reward of that specific product relative to, say, a high-rate conventional loan.
Right. So the authors must assume the core challenge isn't necessarily the lack of money for everyone, but maybe a lack of knowledge, leverage. And by providing that highly specific knowledge, the resource promises to essentially level the playing field somewhat, giving the first-time buyer a fighting chance against more experienced players.
Which raises this important question. When sources are structured this way, focused so explicitly on overcoming challenges, it signals that passive preparation just isn't going to cut it. Active targeted action, that's the key insight we get purely from the framing of this topic. The source demands a high level of intentionality from you, the buyer. Preparation becomes a strategic exercise, not just ticking boxes on a checklist.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting then. If this framework for 2025 success is defined by challenges, the next immediate question for you, the learner, has to be, if these inferred strategies like the buy downs, the aggressive agent selection, the resilience planning, if these are truly the path to overcoming those challenges, what's the cost of relying solely on conventional advice? That's your takeaway to maybe explore further. Thinking about the opportunity cost of not leveraging these potentially more complex solutions in what sounds like a very competitive market.